inspiring us to live the blessed life. Great information and a great seminar on Saturday, provoking us and inspiring us to come out of the Egyptian bondage of debt and to move into God's Canaan land of blessing. And how many of you knew it wasn't God's intent for you to live in the wilderness? That's where you live when you're full of unbelief. But if you believe God, you're going over into the promise. Well, praise God. Thank God. And I appreciate the word of God this morning in the house. What a wonderful systematic study of sowing and reaping, and just good solid teaching in the house this morning. And we appreciate him coming, and he's been away from his wife and grandbabies for a week, and we so much appreciate his time and his energy. He's very valuable to the Apostolic Church. Why don't you give God a hand for him as he comes? Want him to come and take his liberty tonight.
Y'all tired tonight? You want a testimony or want me to preach? You sure? Want me to preach fast? Amen. Well, let's see. It's 8 o'clock tonight. I believe if the Lord helps me and you help me, we might be able to be done by 8:30. Amen. Would that be all right? Would you give me your undivided attention and energy if I preach to you for just a little bit tonight? Amen. Turn with me quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Again, I want to thank the Suttons for their enormous hospitality and their kindness to me. And I don't want to wear you out tonight, but there's so many things that I'd like to preach to you, but I feel like the Lord has given me something in keeping with your theme. I will preach it as quick as I can and let the Lord do whatever it is that he wants to do. I appreciate the Lord tonight for already filling people with the Holy Ghost, already seeing people baptized. Amen. And so we can go from this place tonight and say, surely the Lord was in our midst. Amen. But I want to tie into this thought about the deep very quickly if I can. Reading in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Everybody say, he moved on the waters. Genesis 2, beginning in verse 4. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Everybody say, no rain. Because there was not a man to till the ground. Until man had authority over the ground, God could not send the rain. So with the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you for just a little while on this subject. Out of the dry place and into the deep. Out of the dry place and into the deep. Can somebody say amen? How many of you sense that you're coming out of the dry place and you're going into the deep? Can someone say amen? Lord Jesus, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for what you have already done. As your word is already anointed, so anoint these lips of clay. We ask with confidence in the name of Jesus. And all the saints of God said amen. If you're going to help me preach tonight real quick, have a good spirit. You may be seated, otherwise remain standing so I know who to preach to. Amen. There will be CDs and DVDs in the back tonight if you are interested. I have a weight problem, and I'm not talking about my flesh, although I probably have one of those as well. But I have a weight problem with my luggage, so please see me tonight if you are interested. When we read about this great God we serve, we immediately find a few things. We find out, for instance, that God is a creative God. When there was no one to hear him, when there was no one to praise him for it, amen, God said, let there be, and he declared, it is good, it is good, it is very good. He didn't need someone's approval. He didn't need someone's permission. He declared all by himself, what I have done is good. I believe that what the Lord has done in this place is very good tonight. Can someone say amen? And what he said became. You didn't come to do, you came to be. God didn't make you a human doing, he made you a human being. And so when God wants to put some life into something that doesn't exist, he simply tells it to be. He says, be strong, be courageous, be healed, be at peace. Only believe. Can someone say amen? He said, Paul said, in him I live and move and have my being. So when light wasn't there, God said, let there be, because he's a creative God. Before there was a source of light. The source of light came on the fourth day. But our God is so awesome, amen, that before there was a sun or a moon or a stars, he said, let there be, and there was light. Can someone say amen? He is also a God of order. Track with me for a moment. He is a God of order, and he begins to order that which is in chaos. The same is true with the word of God in our life. He brings order out of chaos. He is a God of balance and harmony. And if you walk with him long enough, he's going to bring some balance and harmony into your life. Everything that God does has a part and a counterpart. That's why there's an evening and the morning. That's why there's a sun and a moon, a land and a sea, a man and a woman, a bird and a fish, a summer and a winter, a seed time and a harvest, mountains and valleys. He's a creative God. He is a God of order, and he is a God of balance. Can someone say amen? But when we read Genesis 1, we have to ask ourselves about this creation story. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth literally just the way the Bible says. But the question is, did he put this accounting of creation in the Word of God simply to tell us a history lesson, or did he put it there so he can show us something deeper? I submit that the story of creation has a deeper meaning to them that walk with God. Amen. The Bible says that when the earth was without form and void, the Bible says it was the earth that was without form. It was the earth that was void. It was the earth that was in chaos. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That the remedy for darkness, the remedy for void, the remedy for a purposeless existence was God sent his spirit to move upon the face of the waters. And when the spirit and the waters worked together in harmony, it gave dominion over the earth, and what used to be in darkness came into new life. I want you to know that's what happened tonight. Someone that was sitting in darkness saw a great light, and even though their life might have been in chaos and order and disorder, God sent his spirit to trouble the waters of baptism, to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, and it brought forth new life. Can someone say amen? So when it comes to earth, the Bible says darkness is on the face of the deep. We get a glimpse of two parallel worlds at the same time. The natural world, the dirt, the terra firma, the earth, the clay. The Bible says it's what we relate to. Why do we relate to it? Because the Bible says that out of the dust of the earth that man was made. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From dust thou thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. We relate to it. We can touch it. We can taste it. I don't know why you'd want to taste it, but my granddaughter seems to like it an awful lot. You can touch it. You can taste it. You can smell it. You can feel it. Amen. Because it is tangible. It is the dry ground. It is the earth. The Bible says that we are houses of clay, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But I want you to notice that the Spirit of the Lord does not move on the clay. It doesn't move on the earth. It doesn't move on the ground. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want you to know that you are more than just a body. You are more than just flesh. But before you were focused on the flesh, God made you in his likeness and in his image. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in kind. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. You are a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit, because you were made in the image and the likeness of your God. I can prove it to you. When Adam got caught in sin, God said to him, "Why are you hiding?" Yesterday he was walking with God in the spirit, but today he is so focused on the flesh that he said, "I was naked and ashamed." In other words, he began to put his focus on the things of the flesh when he stepped out of the spirit. But God said, "Listen, I am going to try and reach for you." For 4,000 years, God tried to reach for man. And finally, God concluded, flesh cannot come back up to spirit. So he who was spirit took upon himself flesh. So he went from spirit to flesh, so you could go from flesh to spirit again. Can somebody say amen? Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord does not move on the ground. It moves on the face of the waters. The waters speak to us of the spirit dimension, the other dimension that we live in. It has a flow. It has a current. You hold dirt in your hand because it's material world. You can hold it in your hand, but you can't hold the waters. There will be evidence that the waters were there because your hand will be wet. There will be tangible evidence that the waters were present, but you can't hold the waters in your hand. In the book of John, Jesus said the Spirit blows where it goes where it will. It blows where it listeth, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Can someone say amen? The Bible says that the water signifies the moving of the Spirit. It is the deep of the scripture. And that's why the Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. God is not trying to talk to your flesh. God is trying to talk to your spirit. The water signifies the spirit. That's why the Bible calls it. It says, it gives us metaphors of liquid in water. It talks about the pouring out of his spirit. It talks about the overflow, the current, the river, the flood, the rain. Amen. The Spirit of God is described as water. And when God went to the spirit of man, he did not go to the flesh, but the Bible says the Spirit went over the water. Amen. Now, in Genesis 2, you may be seated if you care to. In Genesis 2, let me take you on a quick journey. It says that God did not send the rain because he did not have a man to till the ground. In Genesis 1, he gave Adam and Eve, he gave Adam specifically dominion. In Genesis 1 and 26, he said, "I've given you dominion over the fowls of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the cattle and over all the earth. He said, I'm giving you dominion over the earth. That's when Adam was in the spirit. You have dominion over the earth. You have dominion over your flesh when you walk in the deep. But when you try to walk in the flesh, you lose control. And all of a sudden, darkness comes. All of a sudden, chaos comes. But the Lord is trying to speak to us. And he said, I can't send the rain. I can't send the water until I have a man to till the ground. Everybody say, God had a garden, but he didn't have a gardener. So he expels man out of the garden. And all of a sudden the earth is not responding to Adam anymore. Things are not happening automatically for Adam's benefit. The earth is not bringing forth of fruit and good things. But instead it is bringing forth thorns and thistles. Because God has a garden, but he didn't have a gardener. So he goes through humanity 4,000 years of humanity, and he's looking for someone with authority over the earth that is walking in the spirit. I want you to know you can get authority in this city if you will walk in the spirit. Can someone say amen? So the Bible says after 4,000 years of frustration, God wanted to send the rain. He wanted to send his blessing. He wanted to send revival. He wanted to send his spirit. But man got further and further into the flesh and further away from the spirit. So the spirit of God went to the wardrobe of heaven and it picked up a suit of flesh. It wasn't an Armani. It wasn't some other designer, but the label said Jesus Christ, and the spirit put on flesh, and the spirit said, because you can't come to me, I'm going to come to you. And it walked amongst us, and he talked amongst us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Can someone say amen? I'm moving as quick as I can, but I've got to tell you that when Jesus goes to Calvary, he has visited the garden many times. He's been to the garden of prayer. He's been to the garden of Gethsemane. And as he goes to that cross, as he goes to Calvary, he is doing something in the spirit that like he is, so we could be also. And the Bible says he is crucified. But on the third day, on Resurrection Sunday, the Bible says there's a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. And if you can get John chapter 20, my good brothers, John chapter 20, I want the people to see this. The Bible says in John chapter 20, and verse 15, I want you to see this. The Bible says Mary goes to the tomb. And when she gets to the tomb, she sees Jesus. But she doesn't know it's Jesus. But how could you not recognize someone you saw 2 days ago? She sees Jesus, but she is looking through the eyes of flesh. What she is not seeing is she is not seeing the man Christ Jesus, but she is seeing the glorified Christ. And the Bible says when she gets to the tomb, she doesn't recognize him. She perceives him to be a gardener. God had a garden, but he didn't have a gardener. So he said, if you can't do it, I'm going to come and do it myself, so that you can have my spirit and have authority in the earth. And when she heard his voice and he said, Mary, she knew that it was Jesus. There's something about the word of God, the voice of God, the logos of God. Can someone say amen? Amen. But man has always had a unique relationship with the earth. From Adam to Abraham to you and I, God has always promised dominion. Somebody say dominion. He promised dominion to Abraham. He said, here's how my promise is going to come. He said, I'm going to give you land. And this land is not going to be like what you came out of. Egypt was a dry place. But I'm calling you out of dry places, and I'm calling you into the deep. Anything that was moist in Egypt, you had to work by labor to irrigate Egypt. But that's not my plan for my children. I'm trying to bring you to a land that flows with milk and honey. You don't have to do it yourself, but I, the Lord, am going to do it. The promised land is going to drink the rain of heaven. I'm going to send the rain, the former and the latter rain together when you get to the promised land. And here's how I'm going to do it. You've got promised feet, Abraham, and when your feet touch and agree with the promised land, when there is agreement between the earth, you are made out of the dust of the earth. When you touch and agree, you are going to have dominion, and you're going to drive your enemies out. Can somebody say amen? He attaches his promise to a piece of land, and he says, when you get there, by my spirit, you're going to have dominion and drive the enemy out. Before there was a book of promises, there was a land of promises. And absent the word of God, all they had to do was look at the land to tell about their relationship with God. If God withheld the rain and they were in a dry place, it meant that God was upset about something. But if God gave the rain, it meant that God was with them, he was happy, and he was blessing them. If they were on the mountaintop, it meant that everything was all right. If they were in the valley, it meant they were in a dry place. Can somebody say amen? The land that you are going to is not like the land that you came out of. You had to irrigate Egypt, but the promised land drinks the rain of heaven. So the rain speaks of the favor of God. Wherever the favor of God is, there is harvest. Amen. The Bible tells us that famine is a result of improper authority. I don't have time to preach it like I feel it, although I'm doing pretty good for time. But I want you to know in 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a woman by the name of Jezebel. And the Bible says she got with her husband, King Ahab, and they stole a field. And the Bible says that the prophet came by and he said, it shall not rain until I say. And sometimes it feels like that we're in a position that it's not raining, and you wonder why. I want you to know that God has got a blessing that is just for you. It's not meant for someone else. It's not meant for your enemy. And as long as there is improper authority that dominates your life and your land, it's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that God doesn't care about you. But he said, if I send the rain, then Jezebel and Ahab are going to steal the harvest. So I'm going to wait until you get control and authority of your land again, and then I'm going to send the rain so that you get the blessing. Can somebody say amen? Dry ground is lifeless ground. Dry ground is the habitation of unclean spirits. In Matthew 12 and 43, it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it goes to dry places, seeking rest and finding none. But I've come here to tell you that God has called us out of dry places, and he has called us into the deep. The Spirit of God is not in dryness, it is in the deep. Because where there is water, there is a flow. Where there is a flow, the Spirit of God is. Where the Spirit of God is, the enemy is not. Where there is no flow, no water, no Spirit of God, there is only dryness, and it is the habitation of the enemy. Let me give you just a few more stories, and then I promise I'll be done. When the children of Israel are called out of Egypt, the Bible says that God leads them forth, and they find themselves with the armies of Egypt behind them. They find themselves with the Red Sea in front of them, and they find themselves with a mountain on either side of them. Now, God could have led them anywhere, but he could have led them to four other bodies of water, but he didn't lead them to the Caspian Sea. He didn't lead them to the Aegean Sea. He didn't lead them to the Black Sea, but he led them to the Red Sea. And I'd like to tell you why. Because red is a type of red is the color of blood. The Red Sea typifies the blood. And the Lord knew that your enemy can chase you to the blood, but your enemy can't chase you through the blood. I said your enemy can chase you to the blood, but it can't chase you through the blood. And so in this case, the Spirit of the Lord rears back and breathes. And the Bible says, by the breath of his nostrils. I won't do it. I don't want to defile your microphone. But by the breath of his nostrils, God blew. And the Bible says, the waters parted and there was dry ground. Now watch this. This is the only time that God leads his people to dry ground. And there's a reason. In the Old Testament, when they came to the River Jordan, and he said, I want you to go halfway into the river. And when the priests that bear the ark get halfway into the river, then the waters are going to part. In other words, God's people always had to get their feet wet. They always had to get wet in their service to God. But this is the only place where God leads them to the water. And he doesn't cause them to go through the water, but he brings them forth over dry ground. Now, God did not bring them over dry ground because he was worried about them getting their feet wet. God led them over dry ground because he was setting a trap for their enemy, and he knew that their enemy wouldn't follow them into the water, but that he would follow them over dry ground. So the Bible says when they got to the other side and the armies of Egypt were on the dry ground in the middle, that God collapsed the water and he killed the chariot and he killed the rider and he killed the horse. He killed the enemy. How did he do it? He did it with water. Amen. You have got to run to the water when the devil is chasing you. Get off your dry ground and run into the midst. The enemy can't follow you into the deep. When Jesus cast devils out of a man, the Bible says that the devils went into a herd of pigs. Now, I don't know what a bunch of Jews were doing with a herd of pigs. But that legion of demons said, we've been working this block for a long time. We've been here for generations. My good Spanish brethren, how do you say family? Familia. He had a familia spirit. He had a family spirit. He had a spirit that was handed down from generation to generation. And the devil said, we've been here for a long time. Don't cast us out. We have authority and dominion in this neighborhood. We have authority and dominion over these families. We are spirits with authority. Don't cast us out. And so the Bible says Jesus cast them into a herd of pigs. And I don't know where those pigs got the sense, but there was something in them. I believe God put it there. There was a recognition that as long as we're standing on the ground, the devils have authority. But there's one way to get a devil to stop having authority, and that's to run to the water. And when they ran to the water, the devils came out. You want authority in this city? You've got to stay in the deep end. You've got to stay in the deep places. You've got to run to the water. Can somebody say amen in this house? The Bible says David goes to fight Goliath. David goes to fight Goliath, and the Bible says that he goes to a riverbed. When he gets to the riverbed, he picks up 5 smooth stones. Now, Brother Sutton, I've heard some young preachers say that he picked up 5 smooth stones because he was going in the name of the Lord. J-E-S-U-S. And I'll shout with that. But it's lousy theology. Because the name of God didn't have 5 letters till the English Bible, which wasn't written until the 16th century or 1600s. So in the Old Testament, the name of God had 4 letters. In the New Testament, the name of God had 6 letters. Never until recent history did the name of God have 5 letters. And then only in English. So I'm not sure why he picked up 5 stones. I have an idea. My idea is that Goliath had 4 brothers. And so what David was saying is, when I get done with you, I'm going after your family spirits as well. And we're going to drive all of you out of the land. But what is significant is not that there were 5. What is significant is that they were smooth. Because there's only one way to get smooth stones, and that's for water to run over it for a long time. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting out imaginations. Can somebody say amen? I wish I had time to preach it, but it's 8:30. So let me just give you this one thought in closing. I'm not out of preach. I'm just out of time. The Bible says, we'll do it again, all right? The Bible says that Jesus, thank you, that Jesus found a man that could not see. And the Bible says, in the only time that Jesus healed a blind man this way, the Bible says he spat into the ground, and he mixed the spittle with the clay. Now, some of you may be wondering why he did that. I'd like to tell you. I don't believe that the man was born blind because his eyes did not work. The man was born blind because he had no eyes. And so the God in the man, Christ Jesus, said, I've done this before. I know what to do. I've got to put some moisture into the ground. And the Bible says he fashioned him a set of eyes. And when he put those clay eyes into those empty eye sockets, he said, now go to the water and wash. When the man went to the water and washed, Jesus said, can you see? He said, I can see, but things are a little fuzzy. Things are a little blurred. Jesus said, I know what the problem is. There is still too much earth in your vision. There is still too much flesh in your sight. If you will go to the water again, there is something about the deep things of the Spirit that gives us victory over the flesh, gives us victory over the world, gives us authority in the Spirit over the earth. It's time for God's church to get the earth out of its eyes and get a heavenly vision of who and what we are. You have authority in the Spirit, and deep calleth unto deep. Come out of your dry place into the deep of God. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Somebody give God a praise in this house. I want the musicians to come quickly. Musicians, come quickly. We think that we need seed. We think that harvest begins with seed. You would say that my preaching today, hopefully, was seed. I was casting seed. But that's not what harvest starts with. Let me tell you why this church praises the way it does. It's because any farmer will tell you that to get a harvest, harvesting starts with plowing. Because when the ground is hard, when it is resistant, when it is rocky, you have got to plow the ground before you can put the seed in the earth. In the Old Testament, the Bible says Judah shall plow. Now, my grandson's name is Judah. Judah is the Hebrew word for praise. When we come into this place and we begin to praise God, we are plowing the atmosphere. We're getting rid of all hardness and all resistance and all the rocky places that are in our flesh. And we are plowing the atmosphere so that we can receive the seed, which is the Word of God. But let me just warn you, my dear brothers and sisters, you can plow and you can have good seed. And I know that this man gives you good seed every week. But without God's cooperation, it will not rain. Plowing and seed is not enough for harvest. If you really want to have harvest, you've got to step out of the dry place. And you've got to have an anointing to plow. You've got to have a receptivity to the word. But without God's cooperation, it won't rain. But once it does rain, he said in Deuteronomy 11 and 14, he said, I will give you the rain of your land. I will give you the rain of your territory. I will give you the rain of your environment, your land, in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather the corn and the wine and the oil. I want you to know the rain speaks of God's favor. And the fact that he poured out rain in this place lets me know that we are his sons and daughters, and he is well pleased to be with us tonight and in us tonight. Can somebody say amen? I want you to stand to your feet. Amen. I told you I'd be as quick as I could. But I want whatever situation you find yourself in. If you find yourself in a dry place emotionally, if you find yourself in a dry place relationally, if you find yourself in a dry place economically, if you find yourself in a dry place spiritually, if you find yourself in a dry place physically, in your health, I want you to determine in your heart that God is ready and willing to send the rain, but he cannot send the rain until I have authority in the flesh. I'm going to step out of the dry place and I'm going to run to the deep. If you feel like doing it tonight, I want you to come quickly. I want you to run to the waters and I want you to give him one more praise tonight. Raise your hands to heaven and begin to give God a praise. Let him get your vision corrected. Let him get your spirit filled. Let him get your soul blessed. Run out of the dry place into the deep tonight and give God a praise in this house. Come on, someone give him a praise. Let's plow the atmosphere one more time. One more time, give him a praise in this house. One more time, give him a shout tonight. In the name of Jesus, pour out your blessing. In Jesus' name, someone praise him. Thank you.
worship partner tonight that you are dancing.
In this house. Hallelujah. Come on, open your mouth and give him a shout of praise. One more time, let's launch into the deep, into the depth of his spirit. Give him a praise with the fruit of your lips. He is great and greatly to be praised. Someone shout, yeah.